Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
All we have to do is wait for the music. There we go. Although maybe we don't have to wait for the music. We can do whatever we want. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizal. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, making today, as we always do and as best we can, make sense.
And I'm Kimberly Adams. Thank you for joining us. It is What Did We Miss Monday, which means we're going to go back and do the usual news fix, but also tell you about some of the stories you maybe missed over the weekend. And then we'll wrap it up with a little bit of Make Me Smile. So let's get going. Kai?
Let's get going. I'll go first. And I'll confess, I tried to stay away from the news this weekend, so I don't have a lot of what we miss other
Good
than
for
the headline-y
you.
Stuff.
Good for you.
Oh, I'm trying. I'm gearing up for vacation, you know? I mean, come Wednesday night at the end of this podcast, I am shutting it all down. I'm taking evil social media off my feed. I'm taking my email off my feed. I mean, everything's coming off my phone.
Excellent.
Anyway, I want to point out a couple
of things. You know, the last time I tried to do that was
what happened?
January the 5th. Was the last time I did
oh,
that.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was on my way to the vet with my cat in blissful ignorance until I saw, like, police vehicles and buses full of National Guard streaming down the street and my mother calling me frantically. Anyway, side story. Go ahead.
Wow. Wow.
Enjoy
no, that's
that
a good story. That's
technological
good story.
Detachment.
That's a good story. I'm trying. Anyway, so I want to point out a couple of things about the eviction moratorium and the expiration thereof. Congress, the House specifically, but because the Senate was working on some other stuff. But Congress let it lapse on the 31st. And it lapsed for a lot of reasons, not least of which is the Congress and the White House couldn't really get its act together. Now, you may or may not remember that the way this goes is that the CDC had imposed a public health eviction moratorium. They were sued, and the Supreme Court let the eviction moratorium stand, except it also said, come the 31st of July, no more extensions. We're done. And so we've known this deadline is coming for a long time. And the interesting part of the news to me now is the way the White House and the Congress, specifically Speaker Pelosi and the White House, are pointing fingers at each other. The White House is saying, we really want everything to be done in accordance with the law. And Speaker Pelosi is saying, we call on the White House to act. And I'm like, no, the Supreme Court already said you can't. And it seems to me, and I led my news fixes on Friday with a hit parade of failures. This is another failure of the Congress. They've known this one was coming. 15 million people are at risk for eviction, some of them like today. And they let it happen. And it's important that not go unremarked upon. That's my news.
Yeah. And it really comes down to where folks are choosing to expend their political capital, you know, at the moment. And not on this, apparently. I hear this, you know, every time we do these stories about the eviction moratorium, we get all these notes, and I know you do too, but from people who are like small scale landlords, like, well, what are we supposed to do?
Yep.
But
totally.
What kills me about this story in particular is that there was $45 billion that Congress appropriated to help people with their back rent, help landlords and everybody bridge the gap, right? And only $3 billion of it has even made it out the door because of a lack of systems or a lack of interest and red tape and all this stuff. And so Right. I was seeing a story today that there's just like a deluge of calls to legal aid companies, legal aid services, and all these other state offices as people are, they know this money is there, but they can't figure out how to get it. And it's wild. Yeah.
It's crazy. Let me back up for a minute since you did point that out. Congress did appropriate 45-ish billion dollars, and it hasn't gotten out. So it's not like Congress has done nothing. But I think when people were in extremis, they failed to act. And I think that's the point I wanted to make. Sorry. Thank you for the context. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I mean, the moratorium is different than the money. You know, it's one thing to say that there's money available. It's another thing to say you can't put people out. Okay. So mine is sort of a mixture of what did we miss and the news, which is that, you know, we finally seem to have hit 70% of vaccination in this country, which is a month late, later than the Biden administration had hoped, but still a really good number. A lot of people are looking around at the spiking cases and seeing these tragic stories about people who, you know, chose not to get vaccinated and are dying. And that is apparently fueling some vaccines. And I will direct people to a story that came out last week in Politico about my home state of Missouri and our wonderful lack of vaccinations. But it's about the Lake of the Ozarks, which is a very popular tourist destination in Missouri. And I remember a lot of my friends and people going down there for, you know, weekends and stuff when I was younger. And it's just like party town. And people were sort of the reporter who went down there, you know, saw bartenders and tourists and lots of other folks kind of gleefully wearing it as a mask of a badge of honor. I say mask of honor, badge of honor, that they weren't wearing masks when they weren't vaccinated. And I was out covering a story this weekend here in D.C. and was interviewing a healthcare worker who actually told me that she was getting ready to quit her job because they were about to start mandating vaccines and she didn't want to get one. And, you know, you and Molly have talked about this quite a bit on the show about sort of how we talk to people who don't want to get the vaccine and how we talk about people who don't want to get the vaccine. And I was really stuck kind of in the moment when she said that, because I was like, what am I supposed to say here? You know, because it's like, please don't do that. And do I take a step back? You know, and I was wearing a mask and the you know, she was saying, oh, you know, we just have to keep protecting ourselves, she says to me with her mask underneath her nose. And I just, So it's a news fix that we finally hit 70%. We still got a long way to go. I saw comments from Dr. Fauci today that, you know, we're probably not going to go back down to severe lockdowns, but we're definitely not out of the woods yet. And I think we do all, myself included, need to think about how we keep communicating this moving forward, as you and Molly have talked about with the really interesting Twitter thread that is now, I believe, an article in The Atlantic about, you know, how you talk to people who've been frauded or victims of fraud.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, the thing about it is that this all gets petty and personal in a big, bad hurry, because you look at somebody who's not wearing a mask or has it down around their chin or whatever, and you sort of instantaneously, maybe I'm imposing on the listening public here, but my gut reaction is, no, come on, man, what's the matter with you? And that doesn't work. That's the problem. You know, that just doesn't work. Yeah. So, anyway. So that's it. Those are my big newsy things. I don't know if you got anything on the what you missed, because it was all sort of, you know, a blur.
I mean, we actually have an infrastructure bill. That's huge.
Well, that's true. That's true. Totally
know,
true.
It's like
totally true.
Actually, legit infrastructure week for once. You know, after all of our many, many years of false starts, but we'll see how that goes. But, you know, I was spending time with my nephew this weekend, so I'd tried to
good
not be too deep in the news either. So you all
fair
tell
enough.
Us what we missed. Yeah.
That's right.
Send us all
that's
sorts
right.
of messages.
And the way to do that, of course, is make me smart at marketplace.org. Hit us up. Juan Carlos, do that thing where you push that button and the music plays. Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, that thing.
that thing.
What's making you right, smile, Kai? Oh, okay.
Oh, I got a good one. So, all right. I don't know. You decide. You go first. Go ahead.
Well, I'll go first because it's about something that's happening near you, which is Jetpack Guy. What is this?
Cray cray.
So apparently there's some person, and interesting that it's Jetpack Guy, but, you know, who knows? There is a person in a jetpack flying over Los Angeles, and federal aviation officials say the FBI is investigating. Federal aviation officials and the FBI are investigating to figure out who this person in a jetpack around Los Angeles is, you know, just sort of zooming around. And apparently American Airlines pilots saw this person last year flying at about 3,000 feet around Los Angeles International Airport. And 6 weeks later, somebody else in a commercial flight saw them. And the sighting this week is enough. I'm reading here for the New York Times article about this. The sighting this week was enough to draw warnings from aviation officials and another inquiry by federal investigators who have now looked into several reports of someone in a jetpack flying around Los Angeles. Have you seen a jetpack person?
I have not, but it's crazy. That's right, it's me. I'm going to turn myself into the FAA after we hang up on this podcast. It's just so stupidly dangerous. I mean, super cool and yay, but so stupidly dangerous. And also, there's 11,000 other places in the greater Los Angeles metropolitan area where you can do this and not put yourself and conceivably hundreds of other people in danger. So just stop. Just don't do this, please.
Okay, so now I feel bad about it being my make me smile.
No, look, it's cray cray because you're like, there are people on jetpacks? What? But yeah, don't do this. Okay. So mine is Simone Biles, who, as we heard, I think this morning, frankly, I get all out of whack with the Olympics and timing and everything, but we heard recently that she is going to compete in the balance beam finals tomorrow in gymnastics, which. Honestly, I really hope she's back and in the right frame of mind to do this and not just doing it because of pressure. I don't think she is because, honestly, she's demonstrated her strength in staying out so far. But I want her to be tip-top. But one of the things we're going to see her do is this thing called a wolf turn on the beam. Mm-hmm. And there I was 3 days ago watching the Olympics and – my 20-year-old son said, yeah, Dad, you know, the wolf turn is really difficult to do. And I'm like, well, yeah, it is. And then he said, but it's also really important and valuable and all this jazz. Yeah, well, all of it's difficult to do. Anyway, Vox is out today with the physics behind the wolf turn. So the wolf turn is you squat down, you put one leg out, and you spin on your balanced foot, on the foot that is still on the squat. Crazy difficult. And Simone Biles is going to do that tomorrow probably on a 4-inch piece of wood that's 4 feet up in the air. And I will be watching, and I hope she does really well, but I also hope she's just really careful. That's it. That's
well, and this Vox video that you linked to about this is super cool because they have, like, a physicist, like, breaking
down.
An actual
physicist, yes, yes.
You know, the angles and what it means about, like, mass and inertia and all these things. And I was just like, wow. And I love that makes it his job to do the physics of gymnastics and other sports, which is just great. So really interesting video.
Super cool. Yeah. Super cool. And I am the kid who got a C in physics in high school, for whatever that's worth. Just, you know, for the record. Felt it was important to disclose that.
We didn't even have physics in my high school, but, you know.
Oh.
Okay. That is it for today. So tomorrow you... I don't want to start waxing about high school. It wasn't a great time for me, Kai.
Yeah, same. I did not like it.
All right. Tomorrow, though, we're taking a deep dive in on the national debt, which, you know, is always relevant, but it's so fascinating how the narrative around that changes depending on who's in power and who's talking. So we're going to talk about the debt ceiling drama, why the federal debt matters, and how closely we should pay attention to it. And so if you have any questions about this topic or any others, you can send us an email or a voice memo. We're at makemesmart@marketplace.org.
Or you can use a telephone and call us, leave us a voicemail. Our number is 508-827-6278, 508-U-B-S-M-A-R-T, smart. You just dial those numbers, and you can leave us a little voicemail. And there you go.
That's never going to stop being entertaining to me, you be smart.
Oh, no, I think it's great, right?
Consultant.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrero. Today's program was engineered by Juan Carlos Torrado.
Bridget Bodner is senior producer around here. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. There are a zillion other people who work at Marketplace who help get this and everything else on the air. We just don't have time here to credit them because they get credits elsewhere. That's what happens. Me and Kimberly and Molly and Rima and Marielle and David and all those other people, we have the fun jobs. Everybody else
does all the work. And we just sort of stay
does all the work. I'm fond of saying my job is to speak my mother tongue into a microphone. And there you go.
Hey, that's what I do. But with flair.
Sometimes.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.